In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul writes in Romans 3, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. We hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law." And Jesus says in the gospel lesson, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this Reformation Day, and it doesn't often fall on a Sunday, October 31st, so many years ago, we rejoice today that we have received this godly heritage which roots our faith in the Word of God. As pictured in the banner before us in the chancel, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ, as is revealed in Scripture alone. The three great solas, which in Latin means only, grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone, transformed the church 500 years ago, and it continues to transform us today. Now, one way to appreciate what we have is to consider what it would be like if we did not have it. So let me begin on this Reformation Sunday by posing this picture. What if we were not going to Scripture alone for truth? We would then have to go to philosophy, to poetry, to novels, to various earthly teachers, and we'd say, like Pilate, "What is truth?" if we did not have Scripture alone. What if we did not have grace alone, and we all were living our lives trying to earn God's favor, loving God, loving our neighbor, trying the best we could, but never knowing if we'd done enough? And thirdly, what if we were not saved by faith alone, but we had to constantly prove ourselves worthy of God's love? We lived our life by luck and by chance, never knowing what the future holds because we had no faith. We can appreciate Scripture alone and grace alone, faith alone, if we can think for a moment what our lives would be like without those three important teachings for our lives. What is the significance of Reformation Day? With his October 31st posting of the 95 Theses on the Castle Church door in Wittenberg, Germany, on this day in 1517, Martin Luther began a movement he could never have imagined would result in a split from the Roman Catholic Church. And we celebrate God's reformation of the Church today. In the 95 Theses that were nailed to that wooden church door, Luther wrote that the entire Christian life is one of repentance from our sins, turning from our sins, and faith in Christ Jesus. That no papal indulgences could purchase anyone's soul from hell or from some imaginary purgatory. Luther was questioning the Pope's authority, and this was a very dangerous proposition in his day, and for that he would later be excommunicated. But as we've learned to know from Holy Scripture, Luther is directing the church back to the written Old and New Testament of Holy Scriptures, the inspired and inerrant Word of God. Here alone, Christians can know for certain God's truth. Here alone can we say, "Thus saith the Lord." And in addition, this Scripture does not teach work righteousness, which Rome taught under an oppressive system of indulgences and penance and mass. Instead, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone in the once-for-all completed sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Luther discovered this essential truth in the book of Romans, but it might be more proper to say this truth discovered him. This truth continues to discover us in our day. And because salvation comes to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because we are justified freely by grace in Christ Jesus, let us on this Reformation Sunday consider just three themes for us this morning. First of all, what does it mean that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Secondly, what does it mean that we are justified freely by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ? And third, what does it mean to hold to Jesus' teachings, to really be a disciple, and to be set free by the truth? Let's first of all consider, what does it mean that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? St. Paul writes, "The law speaks to those under the law." The law, the Ten Commandments. The first table of all law, love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second table, love your neighbor as yourself. A summary of the Ten Commandments. And then there's the law written in our hearts, the conscience God gives to us. The law of God speaks to those who are under the law. We are under God's law, not above God's law. And what does this law speak to us under the law? Every mouth will be stopped. We've been caught. We've been accused because of the breaking of the Ten Commandments, like an animal caught in a trap out in the middle of the field. The whole world is held accountable to God. We are guilty as accused. We know we have not loved God as we ought, and we know we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. By the works of the law, no human being will be justified. By the law, we know we are condemned. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Remember, that's the second use of the law. It's like a mirror. We look at the Ten Commandments and we see ourselves, and it's not a pretty picture. We see that we have broken God's perfect will and law, and we deserve nothing but punishment, as we confessed in a confession this morning. Therefore, Paul says, there is no distinction. All have sinned. No one excepted. Everybody you see in Walmart has sinned. And the people you see in Walgreens, and the people we see here, we have all sinned, no one excepted. And we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have collapsed. When I used to be in shape and ran the quarter mile and the half mile and the mile and the 2 mile, and those of you who run know, if you're running a race, you can run the 4 laps, but if you fall 10 feet from the finish line, you have failed. You haven't finished the race. This is the picture Paul has. We're all running around this track, this cinder track, all of us in our lives. And we're all falling down. We never make it to the finish line. We fall short of the glory of God. Because of sins of thought, word, and deed, and because of the sinful heart, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that is what the law points out to us. And when the law shows us our sin and we feel our guilt, it is not a pretty picture, and we feel condemned. Therefore, if that is true, what does it mean then when Paul continues by saying, but we are justified freely by His grace through faith? Paul explains, the righteousness of God was borne witness to by the Old Testament law and the prophets. What he means is that from Genesis to Malachi, we were prepared for the seed of the woman who was going to come to crush the head of the serpent. Christ Jesus is proclaimed all through the Law and the Prophets, which is the Old Testament, that by his act of once for all dying in our place upon the cross, there we would be made right in the presence of God the Father. And the pictures that Paul gives here in Romans about what it means to be saved by grace, there's six of them. And the words have this picture behind them. What does it mean we are saved by grace? Paul says, we are justified by grace. You know what the word justified means? Being declared, being declared righteous in the courtroom of God. Jesus, the defense attorney, came into the courtroom and said, I will take their punishment upon myself. And the Father says, I declare mankind innocent because he took your place, our Lord Jesus, in the courtroom of God. Then Paul says, we have redemption in Christ Jesus. You know what redemption means? It means we were a slave on the auction block. Jesus stepped into the auction and says, I will purchase that slave not with silver and gold, but with my holy, precious, and innocent blood. Redeemed, bought back. A propitiation by Jesus' blood. Do you know what propitiation means? It means mercy, God's mercy at the mercy seat. In the temple, there was the Ark of the Covenant. On top of the Ark was the mercy seat. Carved gold angels with their wings coming towards the center. And when the high priest would sprinkle the blood over the mercy seat, because in that Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, God saw the sprinkling of the blood over the mercy seat and said, I forgive. It is the blood of Jesus that has been sprinkled in the mercy seat of the cross. And Christ is for us our mercy seat. Propitiation means God's mercy through the blood of Christ that covers us. By his divine forbearance, Paul continues. Do you know what forbearance means? He has been patient with you and me. Oh, how patient the Lord has been with us. He patiently forgives us day after day, week after week, year after year. He patiently shows his compassion for us. And he continues, and he passes over our former sins. Do you know what Passover means? It was the Old Testament Passover. Moses told the Israelites to put the blood over the doorposts of the house. And when the angel came through Egypt, he saw the blood. And none of the firstborn sons of Israel died. And he passed over them. Through the blood of Christ, the firstborn son, if you will, the only begotten of the Father, God has passed over us because he saw the blood of Christ, which covers us. The last picture is, he is the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. What does this picture mean of being the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus? All this work that was done at Calvary's cross and Christ who was risen from the dead is accounted to you. It's like someone put $1,000 in your savings account and your bill is now paid in full. Jesus put himself into your savings account. He is your righteousness. His suffering and death and his glorious resurrection is your greatest treasure. It is accounted to you. And when you believe that that was done for you, you are justified by grace through faith. We could spend much more time talking about each of these pictures, but this is what St. Paul is talking about when he says we're justified by grace through faith. So if we've all fallen short of the glory of God, if we are justified by grace alone through faith, the final question we ask ourselves is, what does it mean to us in our generation to hold to Jesus' teaching, to really be his disciples, and to know the truth? Believe in Jesus and abide in his word. Believing in Jesus means saving faith. Not just knowing that Jesus existed, but trusting that he is the atoning sacrifice for my sin. Believing in Jesus is not looking around at other people, but looking at yourself and saying, my Lord Jesus Christ died for me. my sins are forgiven, and I have eternal life right now. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Abide in His Word means you read it, you study it, you inwardly digest the Word of God because it is your lifeblood. Then you will be true disciples of Christ. You will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth. Truly being His disciples. We have to remind ourselves that we can't fool Jesus. He knows those who are really His disciples, and He knows who the hypocrites are. But we know that we are truly His disciples because He has given us the gift of truth, He has given us faith, and the certainty of knowing if the Son sets us free, we will be free indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Did you know this is exactly the opposite of what the world teaches? The world teaches that you've got to spend your whole life trying to find truth. And you know the result. People don't find it. They find this, they find that, but they don't find truth. Jesus says the opposite. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. His word is truth, objective truth, certainty. When that truth comes to you and you believe it, then you're set free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Don't ever take for granted the fact that you know the truth. The Son of God makes us free sons of God in the Father's house when in baptism He incorporates us into the body of Christ, and we are now sons of God because we are incorporated into Jesus, the Son of God. I remember helping my neighbor fix his lawnmower one time. He was actually borrowing my lawnmower and broke my lawnmower. I was helping him fix my lawnmower. And we started talking about truth, and he says, "Yeah, Dave, I know you're a preacher, and we're all trying to discover truth, aren't we? And I've never found it myself." Gave me a great opportunity to share with what Jesus is saying when I said to him, "You don't understand. I'm not looking for truth. Truth has found me in the person of Jesus Christ. That truth can also come to you," as I spoke to him about Christ. That's really what it is. Like St. John, like St. Paul, like Martin Luther, and the true Christian church of all ages, we faithfully proclaim the law and the gospel. We administer the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We announce absolution. We pray for one another. We love one another as Christ has loved us. And we share with our friends, our neighbors, these truths that are not just something back in history, but are just as true for us today. That through Scripture alone and the teaching of Christ, we know truth. We are saved by grace alone because of Christ's sacrifice for us. Through faith alone that I believe that was done for me. And what does this mean to you, as we say in the Catechism? We have forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Forgiveness of sins, we are at peace with God. Life, we are not afraid of death. Salvation, we have been saved from damnation in hell and promised salvation in heaven, the eternal presence of God. May we in our generation be faithful like Luther was in his generation, proclaiming Scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that transcends our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.